Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the brand new 2015 NRF1 podcast. We have been rebranded and stuck out back on track like a patched up Marussia. But we are back for the 2015 season. Apologies that it wasn't quite in time for the opening two races of the season, or to preview the third one, but we're here now and we're going to make the most of it. There are a few changes. We are obviously the former EDP Formula One podcast, but we are out on our own, I suppose, now. But we are still a slice of Formula One joy from Norfolk. You can be a part of us if you're not in Norfolk. That's fine. We don't mind that. We have open boundaries, but we're giving you the insight from inside Norfolk on what's happening in the Formula One world. You know, that's unique. We have to make the most of these things. And hopefully it will find a place in your Formula One podcast hearts. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm joined with our first panel of the new season, which is Kyle Cumbers, Richard Baxter, and making his debut, Josh Raymond, who, like Kyle, is a carter. So, you know, we've got proper racers in our midst, whereas I've sort of sat in a Comtech racing car, and that's about it, really. But, gents, how are we all?
Good, thank you.
Very well indeed, yeah.
Lovely. You see, that is how well everyone is. So we're going to rattle through some first catch-up points, because we are playing catch-up. Much like the rest of the Formula One field at the moment. Australia, opening race weekend of the season. Now, I think I can remember it for the fact that Fernando Alonso didn't race because he had a bang to the head in pre-season testing. Everyone's very worried about how, why, and where, and when. He's back racing now, so thank goodness for that. And everything's fine, isn't it, Kyle?
Yes. Even though the 2 or 3 weeks, we had very different stories from McLaren and him waking up in 1995 and...
Not literally.
And then him not being concussed, but then he was concussed, and Ron Dennis not too sure what was happening, and apparently didn't even speak to him afterwards, and it all seemed a bit weird. But he does seem healthy now. And he didn't miss much from Australia, because Magnussen's car just, didn't want to race either, so...
Yeah, the McLaren isn't quite there yet. We're not as far behind as McLaren, unfortunately. Guido van der Garde, he tried to sue, and successfully sued Sauber, but then obviously no one likes him, so he didn't get to race, and he didn't have a licence because he didn't have a contract, although he did have a contract, so he could have raced, but he couldn't get his licence until after that had been sorted out, which happened on the Thursday before free practice, so he didn't race. And he's admitted himself that his Formula One career is probably over. Which is probably right, isn't it, Josh?
It was profitable, though, wasn't it? I read an article on it today. I didn't realise that it was a £16 million settlement on an £8 million investment.
Wow.
Doubled his money.
Can you get that in karting?
I don't think so.
No. Fair enough. Oh, well, Guido's all right. No wonder he probably doesn't want to race. It wasn't like no one will have me. It's like, I don't need to. I'm fine. And Lewis Hamilton won. Mercedes ran it. And we were all desperately, desperately looking at a season that was going to be over very, very quickly. Then Malaysia happened, didn't it, Rich?
It did. Big.
Big happened, because Ferrari, all of a sudden, they were amazing. It wasn't just because it was Malaysia. It was brilliant because it was Ferrari and Sebastian Vettel was on it. And they were going to be, you know, properly pushing Mercedes for the world title this year.
Well, yeah, they seem to be up there still. So, and it was, even though I'm not a big Vettel fan, I'll happily admit that. But I was still actually quite happy to see him, and actually happy to see Ferrari win, which is almost a bit strange, I suppose, because they're the old enemy in many ways. But I was quite happy to see him win to get back where they should be, at the front of the grid.
We're all a bit like that. I suppose no one really, having spent a while not really wanting them to, well, do you not want them to win? I suppose it's just that there are other teams you'd prefer to win.
I don't know. I'm just a novelty and a Vettel fan in Great Britain.
Yep, you're on your own, Josh.
I must be on my own. I don't know. I like to see a dominant car and a dominant driver do well.
Yeah,
I quite enjoyed Schumacher's years. It was hard to watch, I guess, but
it made sense. One for the purists. That's what it was.
It was good for F1 because we can't have a full-time world champion doing badly because it doesn't look great on F1. And it was good to hear.
You mean like the two world champions on the back row?
That's the first three races. Yeah. McLaren bashing has started already, which is fair enough, I suppose. Is anyone used to seeing Vettel in red?
Yeah. I'm still quite surprised by it. Like when you see the subtitle, it says Vettel and it's a red sort of garage, so that's a bit alien still to me.
I'm kind of used to it already, to be honest, because a German driver in a red car just goes, doesn't it?
I guess that makes sense.
So that's what I've been used to seeing when I was growing up, to be honest, through Michael Schumacher era and everything. And of course, Vettel's come out and said about the advice from Schumacher he got as well. So after we won the race, he mentioned that. So that's quite cool as well.
It is indeed. Well, I don't think I've missed anything. Obviously, if you want to come watch those races back, then catch them. We didn't get many predictions in, but in our look ahead to Bahrain podcast, we'll get properly into the predictions, and we'll get back on those full pelt. Although Kyle, you got in pretty early with yours, so we'll be keeping a log of those. Don't worry. I should just say, this will give you a slice of Norfolk. That is a train coming back from Salhouse. We're at the Rushcutters pub again, where we finished last season. We haven't been there since then. We have been home in the meantime. But there you go, just a little. That's a Salhouse train careering into Norwich. There you go, see?
Just need a duck to quack as it goes by now.
Yeah, or we're going to get attacked by a swan. Anything could happen. Right, let's bring it up today then, shall we? Let's get on with all this. China. We were supposed to have this great were we supposed to ever have this great comeback? James Allison had kind of said that Ferrari, there were lots of good signs in Malaysia, but that, they were still only hoping to maybe win a couple of races this season. And did everyone get a little bit overexcited that come China it would be full tilt, four cars to the line, grandstand?
I think I'd hoped it would have been a bit closer. I mean, I looked at the timing differential in the middle and I was just like, I think Vettel dropped some of the 15, 20 seconds after he went onto the medium compound. I was just like, oh.
It was almost like...
It felt like normal service resumed.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
And the Mercedes had almost been toying with them, protecting themselves, keeping their cards close to their chest.
I think Hamilton was one toying.
Who was he toying with, Kyle?
A certain teammate. But I think, going back to the Ferrari compared to Mercedes, I think Mercedes have been pretty strong around China in the previous years, so probably wasn't that big a surprise.
Where Rosberg won his first race,
so they have been quite strong there. So maybe I think still see what happens in Bahrain. Probably Ferrari want the Bahrain to be the mid-afternoon race instead of the night race it is now. If they are good on the tyres, then that's probably a bit of a setback for them. But I think it's still early. I think there's still a chance Ferrari might be pushing them.
Let's hope so, because obviously that'll make a big difference to the season. I suppose, Ferrari do well in Malaysia, don't they? And Mercedes do pretty well. And Lewis Hamilton especially does well in China. I think, has he won five times or something daft, has he? Or six times, is it now?
Is it five poles?
Five poles.
I can't remember how many wins now. Is it four wins? I can't, yeah.
Loads of success. Yeah. Loads of Chinese success. And it was a clean sweep, wasn't it? Fastest lap, pole, quickest in... all three practice sessions.
Well,
I think.
Don't know that much.
Was
in quickest one of them. I'm not sure. I'm not certain. I might be wrong. But
he took the clean sweep of pole, fastest lap, and race.
They're the important ones.
They told him that on the radio straight afterwards.
And they're the important ones. And Lewis owned that weekend, didn't he? Really, but he did manage his tyres very well, which. Kyle, you seem to suggest that maybe that was not necessarily just to preserve his tyres, because in going about winning the race, he held up Nico Rosberg, pushed him back into Sebastian Vettel's clutches, as he was worried anyway.
I think he was looking after his tyres, and that was the main idea behind it, because I think Mercedes were worried that they couldn't run the soft twice. But I think he just took advantage of that by pushing. I mean, he's been playing with Rosberg since the start of the season, really. and especially when the end of the stints, when the laps, they said, okay, we need a gap for Rosberg to be able to pit, or for Rosberg to pit, so you've still got a gap. And he just banged in three fastest laps and just doubled his gap and went, okay, there you are. And get on to Rosberg. I think it's just, it doesn't come across well when you are beaten. You've been beaten all season. when you come across as quite a bad loser. And it's just, I do feel sorry for him. But
Hamilton still can rattle him a little bit when he was coming on the radio on the formation prior to the formation lap about Vettel doing a practice start.
Yeah.
I mean, I was looking at the video footage of it. He was two or three cars behind Vettel, and he was claiming Vettel was stopping him. There was a Toro Rosso in between them. And he was going...
And from the way they lined up on the grid, because Hamilton was basically lined up sideways. Yeah. It was like he'd parallel parked into his farting... clearly I'm going to head straight across you, Nico, get ready for this.
Yeah, he was ready to cover him off, and he did, but in the end he was pretty much away into the first corner and he had a bit of space. But there was also a very interesting call in qualifying, because they said to Nico, I'm not quite your 400th of a second down, and he just said, oh come on guys, and it's like, so are you asking your team to break Hamilton's car to slow him down so you can get pole or something? Or
I think that's because wasn't he pushed for time to get across the line before the
It was too far behind, and he would have struggled to make the checkered, wouldn't he? Mm.
But to be fair to Lewis, they did say, can you do, what was it, like 36.7 or whatever? And he then did
it to the point.
Yeah, and then they went, yeah.
I don't really buy that maybe Lewis did it deliberately to scupper Nico, but just Nico's reaction says a lot. And we've gone from basically Australia, where he was saying, oh, you know, Lewis, he's drove like a world champion, I couldn't answer to it, blah blah blah, I'm okay, you know, but that's the way to... And now he's angry. Mm. So maybe, as I think they mentioned on the BBC coverage, maybe he needs to get angry and he can give Lewis a challenge. Because
you wouldn't like him when he's angry.
Well, I hope not. I mean, I don't know if I'm particularly scared by Nico Rosberg, but I suppose we want Lewis to be, don't we?
Well, absolutely. It'd be nice if there was closer competition at the front, even between the two. Because if you think back a year ago to Bahrain and the duel they had there, and that was what really kick-started the rivalry in the season.
Absolutely. Although, I think, was it Brundle that said that he believed that the cars was, or that it looked like the cars were, it was harder to follow within the 2 second sort of window this year than it was last year, which potentially is why when Nico did get within the 2 second block, he just knew he couldn't go any further forward. I mean, it did seem like a lot of drivers were sort of pitching themselves around 2 seconds behind the guy in front of them, and it was only if they had a massive pace differential that they could actually get past.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the overtakes in China seem to be cars that are out of position.
Yeah, yeah, and DRS.
Or whatever.
DRS wasn't really doing a lot, was it?
I'm sure he'd have took the tactic of backing up Hamilton in Abu Dhabi last year if it had been the one ahead after the first
corner.
So what's the difference between the last race and the third place? Obviously last year it was double points.
I think the driver in front's within his rights to do whatever he wants, as long as it doesn't damage the team too much, and with the season they look like they're on form to do, I can't imagine it will be. I think they're almost, what is it, 2/3 of points haul ahead of Ferrari already.
Less of that talk, Josh. Less of that talk. Okay, well, now it's time for the NRF1 pit stops. Oh, yeah, you'll remember those from last year. Just slightly changed. It's just a quick way of getting through the race, so let's get about it. I think we've done a bit on Ferrari, really, haven't we? I mean, they were close, but no cigar. What we do have at Ferrari is two drivers on it, which we didn't have last year because Kimi was asleep for most of it.
Yes, was he 2 seconds behind before the safety car?
I was going to say the gaps don't really reflect it on the paper, do they?
I mean, he sort of admitted himself he needs to get his qualifying sorted, and I think I think his pace looked quite good, especially in Malaysia as well. He came from the back really after the first few laps. So yeah, it's good to see Kimi back. It's good to see Vettel back. So,
I think we're all a little bit excited about Ferrari. There's a twinge of it. I know there's a twinge of it. Now, Williams were... I mean, they did finish 2x2, really, didn't they? It's only at the top end in China. But Williams, we didn't really see a lot of them. I mean, there was a great move at the start. Bottas and Felipe Massa were oohing and aahing, and Massa got ahead and stayed ahead, and that was it.
Yeah, and I think right at the start, for the first few corners, Massa got ahead of Vettel as well. But then I think Vettel just came back at him and, you know, pulled a move. And he was then away, but it was... I don't know if they say they've gained performance on last year, Williams, but then doesn't seem as big a step as Ferrari.
No.
Otherwise, you would have thought if Williams had taken that step, they would have been up there with Mercedes as well.
Well, we're in an interesting situation where the two works teams, if you like, I suppose, if there is such a thing in Formula One, are now ahead, aren't they? And
were Williams particularly strong? I can't remember, to be honest. Were Williams strong in the first few races of last year? Because it did seem to come good in the middle of the season in certain rounds. So I'm just wondering if it's a similar sort of pattern where they're going to have a similar sort of slump in the certain... I mean, it's circuit type as well. I mean, obviously, Australia is usually a bit of an oddball, and then we've gone to two Tilke tracks. I can remember Williams' successes tended to be not at those sorts of circuits. I'm thinking Austria, and
Barcelona,
Canada,
as well.
You know, sort of non older circuits, I guess.
Yeah. Well, they've got time on their side. We're not writing them off yet, and you know they did okay, to be honest. I guess it's just more the fact that Ferrari have pushed their development on as opposed to anyone else.
Where they were, 2013, and now they're finishing fifth and sixth.
Absolutely.
Well, you touched on the expectation,
and this is like they seem gutted. And I was like, yeah, 18 months ago they'd have been delighted just at some points. It's just. Yeah.
Calm down, Williams.
Well, if you keep the points rolling in, then that's all that counts, yeah. You know. Because, as I say, points make prizes.
Badum! Valtteri Bottas missed the first race, didn't he? Did his back in. Had a tweaked back, as James Allen called it, which I thought was a bit harsh. I suppose he was back the following race.
Yeah. So. There was a picture of one of the mechanics sort of helping him out after qualifying, so... I'm sure
that's not quite not the ideal safety procedure.
We've seen a bit of that because Rosberg was struggling with his neck in pre-season, wasn't he? So I don't know if they've been trying to drive his lower probably or
squeeze him in. And Lewis Hamilton's right or left, I don't know which butt cheek it was, but one of his butt cheeks, as he called them, was getting very hot through some part of the car. So there we go, lucky him. Anyway. But let's get stuck into Red Bull, haven't we? Because we haven't even mentioned them. And my goodness me, what a mess. They obviously don't like where they are because they keep threatening to quit, which just about sums it up, doesn't it? We're not winning anymore, so we're going to just leave. So sod you all. Renault, the engine is clearly an issue. It's clearly, you know, while Ferrari and Mercedes have upped their development, Renault seem to have actually gone backwards, so, you know, clearly compared to the others, but almost compared to what they had last year. But then at the same time, is it just that? Because to me, they're obviously having brake issues and the car doesn't look very good. So who wants to go first?
Well, the fact they're being beaten by Toro Rosso doesn't...
No, this has got me from the Australia onwards. Surely that... I know they are separate entity teams in effect, but this shouldn't be happening.
Same engine. It's the same engine in there. And that's what Red Bull's main complaint has been, the engine's no good. And it's like, but your sister team is being beaten, beating you, especially Verstappen as well, which he deserves.
The car looks great under Verstappen's hands. I mean, it might not be going quick in a straight line, but he pulls off some overtakes.
So, yeah, Toro Rosso are showing them up. Now, Adrian Newey's job's a little bit different, isn't it? Because he's overseeing everything now rather than actually being... You know, a chief technician. I wonder if that has partly got something to do with it.
Yeah, maybe. He was at the first race, wasn't he? Which was a bit of a surprise. I haven't seen him recently. And the chap that can't pronounce the name has gone to McLaren.
Pedromo.
Yeah, let's call it Pedromo.
Yeah. So maybe he was a big influence, as sort of Newey's right hand man. And it's just cycles of things. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you build a car.
The team's dismantling around Red Bull. They had a really good team, solid, that got them four world championships, and you can see it sort of slipping.
Well, a lot of the talent got plucked, didn't it, and moved and chopped and changed. But as you say, it's cyclical. So you ride it out, don't you?
Yeah, and they've got to work with Renault, or go and build some Infinity engines or whatever they want to call them, or rebadge them as that.
Get out of here. That's the suggestion.
I'm sure the Milton Keynes factory will live on, if not branded Red Bull anymore. The team will fight on.
Is true.
Can you go from two teams to no teams? It's a team that's...
There won't be anyone
just
left.
Just sell one of them, then maybe.
There was talk I heard that Toro Rosso might be rebranded as an actual Renault team itself. Yeah. So...
Renault are trying to work out what they're going to do as well, aren't they?
You kind of feel that Red Bull do need a works engine, and where they get it from, I don't know.
I find it interesting, the whole Renault coming in as a constructor, because they seem to do have ebbs and flows with their own sort of run of that. I'm thinking even back to the 80s with it, with their constructor team. They always do interesting things, but it doesn't always pay off.
No, and then
I'm wondering, is Fernando's two championships the only ones they ever had? Potentially?
I think they won before that. I'd have to check, but they're the only two Fernandos, I know that much.
Yeah.
Did Keke Rosberg win under Renault in the 80s?
I thought that was a Williams.
It's a lot of Renault power, isn't there?
Not Renault power,
but
titles,
the actual as a constructor. Yeah.
The team, as a constructor, they've taken.
Prost never won it with them as a Renault? No. Pardon.
We'll have to check.
Yeah.
Where's Google?
Before,
Richard's going to check Google. You know, it's good that you guys all know that we don't store all this information in our heads because we need our opinions in our heads, and therefore we store the facts on our phones. That's probably the best way of describing it. There was an interesting bit with Red Bull, though. Daniel Kvyat, who's of course replaced Sebastian Vettel, he got in the way of Daniel Ricciardo. Although I will be calling him Ricciardo this year, I've submit to that battle that he can't say his name right. He was told. Kvyat was told to get out of the way and he didn't, and then his engine blew up.
The futile when the engine went so spectacularly.
I mean, they can't have been best pleased with that. I don't think Red Bull did much media after the race, did they?
No, I think if they were towards the front that might have been a bit more of an issue, but the battling for the few
no
points
one cares. No one cares down the grid. You put away your phone, Richard. No.
It's not worked,
is it?
My phone's not working.
Is it? It's the Norfolk signal, isn't it? There we go. Told you, this is unique. You can't get better than this. Okay, well, let's have a look at Lotus, shall we? We'll touch on Lotus. Pastor Maldonado, once again. Did they just change it from a sand trap, a gravel trap, to asphalt because they knew that he was going to overshoot again, or the pit lane, which he did the other year? And although this time he just overshot the whole thing, didn't he?
I think Hamilton probably put the money down to have that redone after last time. After 2007, he got stuck in there, didn't he? And I think he probably put a few thousand down to say, tarmac that.
Yeah, literally.
In practice, he should have took advantage of that and just took that line every time.
But it's a good. It was actually quite a good weekend for Lotus. I mean, they've spoken a lot about the potential, and I suppose, you know, Romain Grosjean was best of the rest. He was finished seventh, wasn't he? And necessarily. I don't know. Were they any good? Am I just bigging it up?
Maldonado pulled a few good moves at the start.
He did seem to be having a good race-ish.
Well,
an eventful race.
He did. Well, it's probably... Yeah, we'll say Lotus have still got it to prove. It does lead us on to McLaren, because Jenson Button went into the back of Pastor Maldonado, and normally you'd like to blame Pastor for that, but I don't think we can on this occasion. It was great racing, wasn't it, up until that point?
Yeah, it was Button's fault, I think he admitted afterwards, but I don't know, maybe they got an extra boost of Honda power sort of put him off, maybe. I don't know, but it's very unlike Button.
It is very unlike Button. Yeah. I found it very strange watching it. Yeah. It's like you'd expect it from other drivers, but
You sort of saw it first time, you thought actually Button's fault, but you sort of, I don't think even the commentators believed it could be a sort of Maldonado and Button.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, we know whose fault this one is. Oh.
I'm not surprised, because if you look at the McLaren and Ferrari as well, they've both got about an extra foot of nose cone beyond the front wing, so you kind of, it's almost ready to happen. It's almost like a dart there.
And the shorter the better, apparently, so they just haven't been able to engineer it or make it work. But as for McLaren, I mean, they are a year behind everyone else, aren't they? And that's basically what where they are, and they're not going to be anywhere near it until next season, maybe?
I'd love to look their times up against last year's times. I haven't done that. That'd be interesting to literally look at McLaren's against the grid of last year to see if they actually, the engine wise, where they'd actually stack up.
That's a good point. I mean, because the cars are supposed to be 2 seconds a lap quicker, aren't they, around some of the likewise times?
But apparently, China actually, they're 1.5 seconds slower the fastest lap.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Is that probably because of the tyres and strategy,
and
maybe more than.
And backing up.
It's all Lewis's fault.
But yeah, I mean, McLaren keep going on the go. They got a good chassis, which you can't really tell till they're at full pelt. And I don't know if that's just a...
Not a great PR message to come out with either, is it?
Oh, yeah, the car's good. Honda. Yeah. Sorry, Honda. Yeah. They're taking a leaf out of Red Bull's book. Yeah,
I do wonder how long the smiles will last, though. And the really positive messages coming from Alonso and Button, which I'd be a bit worried. I mean, they're at, 33, 34 each. And they said, oh, this project, and, you know, this is the only way to win and stuff. And it's like, maybe haven't got that long, chaps. You know, just, you know.
It's true, isn't it? I hadn't really thought about it like that. I guess they hadn't either. But then Jensen thought he wasn't going to be driving this year to a degree, didn't he? So
I suppose if you go by the Rubens model, though, they've got decades left.
Yeah. They'll just keep wandering around, hoping to get in.
What I did find actually impressive, I looked at the times earlier on today, and Will Stevens' fastest lap was quicker than Jensen Button's in the race.
Really?
Yeah. Is that right?
That's a good stat.
Stat winner of the day, Rich. Well done. How about that? Well,
Isn't that Stephen's first race as well?
Yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah, I think it's the first time they've run two cars, isn't it?
Yeah, because first race they didn't get out. Second race it was only Mary who got out.
Yes, and there is this suggestion that the only reason Marussia are running is so that the guy who's bought the team in the summer and got them out of administration can pick up a few million quid. From it.
It's quite an expensive way of picking up a few million quid, isn't it?
It does, to me. I mean, I haven't seen them on track. I don't think they've been
A few snapshots of them getting laps.
Yes. Yeah. Boom, there it goes. It's literally, I can't really remember.
A few mentions in the commentary box.
Yeah, well, if Will Stevens is doing that sort of thing, needs to be made more of.
He didn't actually ever take Mary on track, didn't he? I think Ted Kravitz mentioned a bit. And then pulled away from him. So
he finished quite a bit ahead of him, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did indeed. Okay, well we'll wait and see what Manor can do. Obviously, no Caterham. I don't know if anyone out there managed to buy some parts of the car that were for sale. Anyone here buy any of it?
No. Watch the auctions.
Yeah, could have stuck something, you know, back wing on your supercar. Would that being allowed, Josh? Would you have been able to do that?
I think that would be banned.
Yeah, shame. Probably would have made it slower anyway. To be honest, anyway,
weigh it down.
Yeah. But you know, I'm desperately sad for all those who worked at Caterham because it ended up tits up, really, didn't it? let's be honest about it. It's a real big shame. Never mind. Moving on to Toro Rosso, because they, as I said, by way of the fact they've been finishing ahead of Red Bull, they've had a pretty decent start of it. We're all impressed by Max Verstappen, I assume.
Indeed.
Because he had a very good race again, really, didn't he? Until his engine.
He's been let down twice now by the car. The first race let go. And it's a shame because he was, you know, well up in the points, pulling some good overtakes, and then the car's just boom.
But literally, boom, scrape.
So seized up. Yeah.
It was quite funny to see the back wheels lock.
Yeah.
And that was.
I've not seen that on an F1 car for a long
time. No.
What was more funny, I think, was the marshals trying to get it back in the pit lane.
You just knew every time they went and moved it back, there wasn't going to be enough. And you had this thing that, well, if they can just get it in before the safety car comes round, they could maybe have a final lap of it.
I'm disappointed the Schumacher rule came in, though. I really wanted them to just ignore that. Just allow them to race from the safety car line to the checkered flag.
Well, we know it'd be more likely that Rosberg would have been overtaken than him catching.
And Raikkonen was behind Vettel as well. He was catching him towards the end. So it's such a shame that gave up then.
That's true. There was a nice, I mean, Carlos Sainz went for a bit of a spin. There was a lovely camera view because it followed him round the start of him spinning. And he also came up with the line, don't talk to me because I'm in a corner. Or no, don't talk to me when I'm on the corners, which is fine, you know, blah, blah. But Lewis Hamilton had used it in Malaysia. He was clearly having a tantrum about it. And, so, I mean, is it a trend now? Is all drivers, when they're in a bit of a tiz, they're going to blame the fact they're driving around corners? Because surely the engineers are on at them all the time.
But it does make sense, though, especially China. There's a great big straight just to talk to them on that straight.
Well, yeah, yeah.
So
that's a conversation.
Yeah, surely it should be agreed beforehand. You know, I don't know, maybe they can say, where do you want me to talk to you? Or, you know,
just read them the newspaper headlines as they go down.
Yeah, there's nothing to say, you know.
Exactly.
It's got to pass the time, haven't you?
It's got to be done. It's got to be done. It looked like he was going to retire, and then his car sort of came back from the dead, really. And
he finished in 13th position.
Remarkable.
Just behind Alonso.
So his car basically gave up, came back, and still almost finished ahead of Fernando Alonso.
Again, in 2007, Hamilton in Brazil, I think it was, his car did the same thing. It was just wouldn't change gear. And then, as Martin Brundle said in the commentary, control, delete, and came back to life.
Turn it off and on again, it'll be all right. Okay, it's our of the weekends. Josh, I'll tell you what these are. We rattled through them quite quickly. We have a driver of the weekend, a goat of the weekend, but not greatest of all time. That's just someone who's been a bit of an idiot. Team of the weekend and then your highlight. So, who wants to go first? Well, driver. Let's sort out driver. Driver of the weekend. I mean, Lewis, is it too obvious? Do we have to go with Lewis?
He got the pole on qualifying, he won the race. I think it's there. But Max Verstappen, again, is also up there. Just, he's 17.
Yes, nice.
He's 17 and he's driving a Formula One car. I think when I was that age, that's what you dreamed of, but it's never a reality. And yeah, it's still impressive to see someone that age go out and kind of prove almost or disprove a stereotypical view on teenage drivers as well.
It's true, yeah. His insurance premium should be good. You'd like to think, wouldn't you? I would agree with that entirely, Lewis, with honourable Verstappen mentions.
Yeah. I'd have to go for Verstappen. I'm very impressed by... Everyone wanted to tear him down in pre-season. You felt everyone wanted to be able to tear him down in pre-season.
It's like, look, this 17-year-old is ridiculous. In fact, didn't they change the rules so that they can't have anyone under 18 anymore?
Yeah,
the Verstappen rule.
Yeah, that's the max. Okay, fair enough. Goat of the weekend. Who sits with this? I mean, Maldonado for driving. I mean, he used to get it each weekend last year.
I'd still put a shout to Button because it really made me angry that... just silly little collision because they were having a really good fight and Alonso was right there joining in, and then suddenly it was all over and Alonso just kind of, oh, I'll see you later, just carried on, and I was enjoying that.
You're better than that, Jensen, and now he's got 2 points on his license and his and has he got anything carried through to the next race, or was that it?
I think that was it. He got time penalty on the race. So that should be it, I think.
Well, that's more than enough. Anyone else? That seems quite...
Yeah, probably Rosberg's.
Rosberg's tantrum.
Yeah.
Love it. And it was great when he was sort of being asked it. So what was he supposed to do? Was Lewis supposed to, you know, do this? Well, no. But, yeah.
The worrying thing is that he never seemed to have the idea that maybe I could push him.
No.
Into a mistake or...
Yeah.
Anything like that. Yeah. And he said, I've got to do a better job on Saturdays. I was like... The race is also Sunday as well. I mean,
yeah,
he's got maybe got no confidence to overtake him on a Sunday. So.
It's amazing how many people are going to Sauerhaus tonight. I tell you, amazing. Team of the weekend. Not great, is it? Really?
Two cars to the finish.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
Yeah,
different one.
Maybe next week we'll see them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we can't give it to Mercedes every week. All right, then.
How about Sauber? They've put two cars in the points.
That's a good shout as well.
We weren't expecting that from the pre-season.
Mm. And compared to last year as well, that's a Ferrari-level improvement. So
with two relative rookies. Obviously, Ericsson's not a rookie, but, I mean, he's definitely been put into a different tier of racing now. He's not in a cage room.
And he was getting...
Last year,
he was, it was.
And he was getting beaten by everybody that turned up. Last year to race another one, so he's...
Yeah, he was, yeah. That's true. He's only had the odd wobble this season so far as well, so... Okay. Well, we'll give it to... Oh, we'll give it to Sauber then. Let's give it to Sauber. Highlight of the week. I mean, trying to wheel the car in off at the end was I must admit, probably my highlight. On-track action wasn't a lot, but, you know, as much as Jensen was the goat for it, it was probably that spell and that accident was probably quite... highlight as well.
Quite enjoyed Sainz in the spin, especially because, as you mentioned, the camera that followed him around as he spun around.
It was amazing.
On the pivot, following it.
It was.
And we had the overtaking, was it Brazil last year? Or I think it was Perez and someone, I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, they followed him.
That was an overtake, and we've got a spin this time, so that's worth spending your budget on, a camera that can spin.
So good. There was a hashtag Chinese GP that they put on the coverage, so... You know, that's a highlight because Formula One is starting to embrace social media. I mean, presumably Bernie didn't know that they were putting that up on the coverage because he's not going to be very happy. Yeah, who the hell?
I did see one at Malaysia as well. So I guess, I don't know if it's just new to the season or I've just not seen any of them, but...
Just wait till Bernie
is. I want to get rid of those signs, as Bernie says, all those ones that keep popping up.
It's like royalty, isn't it?
Graphics, though.
Yeah, they're good, but he's like the sovereign, and he needs to have his say on the track in graphics.
Could have at least
gone
to
the gravel track today at China.
On the gravel track?
Yeah, it was on the gravel track near the start line. It was just like, that's a very weird place to put it. It looks almost acceptable on the tarmac.
Not really.
On the gravel.
On the gravel,
it's
Oh, that's classic.
In Australia, wasn't it? Something I'll miss you. I can't remember who it was now. Some Australian connection to the F1 or whatever. I can't remember now. But yeah, so
yeah, it was something you'll miss. I will miss you, Ron. I think
Ron Walker.
Yeah, might have been,
to say Ron Walker.
Yeah. Let's say it was Ron Walker. Yeah, well, you know, he does what he wants. At the moment, it seems to be running the sport into the ground. But you know, let's hope not. Let's hope not. Cool. Well, that's a highlight then, isn't it? Now, you got on your phone about Renault. They've only won two world championships.
They've only won two world championships.
The two
as constructors,
as an actual team, constructors team.
That is the two with Fernando.
How about that? I was sure they'd won another one. Well, they should come back then, really, shouldn't they?
Even with Flavio in charge as well.
Yeah,
that's done really well.
Yeah, moving swiftly on. Okay, gents, well, thanks all. Thanks, everyone out there, for listening. Much appreciated, as always. Let's wrap up with some housekeeping, shall we? The website is nrf1.uk. On there, you can catch the podcast. You'll have blogs from Kyle, Richard, myself, and Josh, if you want to, whoever else wants to blog, you can read their thoughts there, as well as catching the podcast. The Twitter handle for our Twitter feed is @thenrf1. I had to remember that because it's a little bit different, and that will keep you all in touch with what we're doing and various fun and games we'll have planned over the course of the season, including the Prediction League, which you'll be able to hear the first installment of in our Bahrain preview podcast, which we'll be recording in a moment, and we'll be live with you very shortly, he said, hopefully. Better do, because back races, and we've got a quick turnaround, so better get a move on. Gents, thank you all so much for your time. Much appreciated. Thanks all for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Until then, bye-bye.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.